Mother's Day to all the mothers, and this is one holiday, or it's not a holiday really, it's a day of giving honor to our mothers, and I think it's a really good tradition. It's, you know, the family is under such attack today, and to have a day set aside to honor mothers is really a wonderful thing. you know, I think all creation reflects God's glory and His character, and we know that this reflection, it really has been marred by sin, but it's still there. And you know, you even look in the animal world. I was thinking about that a bit. You know, how a mother deer or bird will really care for its young and just do anything, really give their life for that young bird or young deer. It's just, I mean, that's just God's, it's God's creation. It's the whole idea of the family and mothers. It's God's idea. It's not man's idea. So so I was just reflecting on that a bit, and you know, it really, the role, of a mother, it really reflects the character of God in so many ways, and the Scripture bears that out. And maybe we can just look at some of these scriptures. I'm going to go out through a lot of scripture today, so you don't feel you have to look them all up. But the first one is, I just like to look at this scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He was the one that came to the Thessalonians and brought the gospel to them, and he really cared for these Christians. He was the one that had led them to the Lord, and he really well, it shows here his care in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 7. It says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." And so here we see Paul using that illustration of a nursing mother, and how that mother cherishes your child, and really, it was already mentioned, it's a sacrifice. I mean, we all know little babies, they wake up at all hours, and it really is a sacrifice that the mother makes, but she does it, you know, out of love. She just, it's and this is really the character of God in our lives. Another verse in Isaiah 66:13, it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." And so God is a comforter. We know mothers, when we're little, if something happens, who do we run to? You know, we run to mom. That's where we get our comfort. I my little granddaughter Abigail, she, when she gets tired or falls down or something, she'll say, "I need mommy." You know, so this is, you know, this is the God. You know, it's in Second Corinthians, it speaks of the God of all comfort, and but then we know that, like I say, this reflection of God's character, it has been marred by sin. We know that there's a lot of heartache in the world, and yet God remains faithful. He never changes. David could say in Psalm 27, verse 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." And so, what a wonderful promise we have that the Lord will never leave us or never forsake us. I love this verse in Isaiah 49, verse 15. Is God speaking? Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. You know, when I think of that verse and what it's saying, I can't help but think of Calvary and those nail prints. See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. So this is the love of the Lord for us who are so unworthy of that love, but this is God in His character, who He is. And that's really what I wanted to talk about today a bit. It's been on my heart, and I'd like to talk a little bit about eternal security. And written down here, the eternal security of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a doctrine or teaching that the enemy of our souls, we know that's Satan, he hates that doctrine. And why? Because, first of all, it gives God all the glory. And then it also, in the believer's life, it's really, it enables the believer to be a real effective witness for their Lord and Savior. You know, to know that to have that assurance that I'm saved for time and for eternity, and it's not anything of myself, it's what the Lord has done. You know, that's a message that the world needs to hear, and it needs to see that in our lives. So just to look at that a bit, I was studying and looking at different commentaries, and what I came across, actually, it's a very recent magazine called Cornerstone Magazine. And there was an article in there by a brother who I believe Mike and Mary know, George Furrier. And I think he's in the assembly in Ottawa there. And this article was called Double Knotted Security. And I'll just read the beginning of it here. It says, "Sometimes runners will double knot their laces. Doing so gives them confidence that their shoes will be secured to the end of the race." The Greek word, and I hope I pronounce this right, I'm not a Greek scholar, so the Greek word ome is a composite of two negative words. O means not, meaning not, and may, also meaning not. this compounded word significantly drives home the negative meaning. And God has given the believer several double knots, highlighting that our eternal security is his responsibility. And so, just to look at some of these verses where this word is used, the first one I'd go to would be John chapter 10. And we actually had this in the Lord's Supper, so that's was a real confirmation to me about the message. But John 10, verse 28, well-known verse. I think I'll look it up here because I wanted to go a little past that. John 10, 28. He says, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now that never is ome. Double not. They shall never ome. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. There's double security, but then it really involves the whole Trinity, because over in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us, in him, that's the Lord Jesus, in him you also trusted after you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So here we have the whole Trinity involved in our eternal security. Where no one can snatch them out of my hand, the Lord Jesus said. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Praise the Lord.
So this is a security that nothing can shake, nothing can effect. It's not man's doing. It's the living God, the eternal God, one that never changes. So there's another verse in Romans chapter 11, verse 29. It says, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be changed. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God. A gift is, you know, we don't work for a gift. It's a gift. It's just received. And the work was done on the cross of Calvary. We enter into that through faith. We lay hold of it by faith. But the work was done by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And John 6:37 says, the last part of that verse says, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And here's that word, ome, again. I will by no, that's ome, means cast out. Double knot, double security.
Um,
And then we find that word again in Hebrews 13:5, well-known verse. I will never, that's omei, never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, the believer also has the assurance that sin will never be put to their account. Romans 4 and 8, 4 verse 8, it's quoting from Psalm 32, actually. It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not, that's omei, impute sin. David certainly knew what sin was in his life. You know, we know that David also wrote Psalm 51. And it's interesting what Psalm 51 does say. You know, David was broken before the Lord. He was confessing his sin. Really terrible sin. But he asks the Lord, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't ask that his salvation would be restored, but the joy of his salvation. So that shows us that we can lose our joy. I think I've certainly experienced this. Maybe some of you have experienced it. But to not have the joy of my salvation, when there's something that comes in that breaks that fellowship with the Lord, and sometimes it's not very much. You know, it could be just a thought. Can break fellowship with God. And you know, the wonderful thing is, the 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have that wonderful avenue back to fellowship with God. But the relationship that we have, it's not based upon what I do, or it's based upon the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that relationship will never change. There's so many scriptures. When I started looking at this, I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by the amount of scripture. I mean, we could be up here all day, and it's just overwhelming. But we'll just continue on and looking at other scriptures. Hebrews 10 and verse 12. Let's just maybe turn to that. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 12. Speaking of the Lord Jesus again. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Just like to read a little a little comment from our brother George Furrier again. This, I think this really is something that really it's for all of us, but especially new believers. It says, whether a new believer or a mature one, we stand perfect in Christ. That's our standing. It's in Christ. It's perfect. Because God has credited Christ's righteousness to our account. And that's borne out in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5 to 9. Sometimes believers struggle with assurance, thinking that their sins prior to salvation are forgiven, but any committed afterward will cause them to fall from grace. Yet one must remember that Christ died for all our sins, and at Calvary, all our sins were still future. First Peter 1 verse 5 tells us, we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by the power of God. You know, I realize in myself, if I had to keep myself for one day, for one hour, for one moment, it'd be hopeless. But we're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. And we realize, and we've often talked about this, that salvation is in the past. Salvation in the past is from the penalty for our sin. That happened 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus laid down his life on Calvary and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He could cry, it is finished. And so our salvation was finished there when he, that aspect of our salvation in him paying for our sins. And when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, those sins are not imputed to us anymore. Instead, God imputes his own righteousness to us. I mean, this is so amazing. But then there's a present aspect too. What about right now in our life? And we know we still have a sin nature. We still fail, and yet God's salvation is a present salvation. And in Romans 6 talks about that, how we have the power of God working in us so that we don't have to be bound by sin anymore. We've been set free to serve the Lord and to live for him. So the power of sin was broken too at the cross. But what about the future? You know, and this is what Peter's speaking of here, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, that's future. We're looking for that. I think more and more as we live in this world, we look for that future salvation. And it's just as sure as our salvation that the Lord accomplished in paying for the penalty of our sins and the power of sin being broken. The future salvation is every bit as secure. The Apostle John tells us that he who has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So this is a purifying hope in our lives. When we're looking for the Lord's coming, you know, we want to be ready to meet him. And there's a brother over in Israel, Mir Sharfati, and he always said, he gives updates on what's going on in the Middle East and everything, but he always brings it around to, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come? And I think that's so important to, as believers to be ready. And then he says here in Hebrews 10:17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. This is the covenant that the new covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know that this comes from Jeremiah 31, and it's speaking of Israel. And Israel, in a coming day, will recognize that their true Messiah, and they will turn to Him, you know, with true repentance and sorrow. But then the Lord says that He will write His laws into their hearts, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And we enter into that new covenant today by faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, the thing is, this truth is really it's a firm foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So this is a firm foundation. You know, we may, you know, it's often said, we may shake on the rock, but the rock never shakes under us. And but just a little word here. I think I'm going to finish early today. Oh. Just a little word here. Yeah, we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we on that solid rock, that firm foundation? And so this is a question we do need to all ask ourselves. Is our you know, a lot of people can really trust in religion and their own works, and they're doing things to please God and to make themselves right with God. But you know, if you're not on the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary, you're really just on shifting sand. It's just, there's no foundation really. There's no security in this world. You know, people talk about security, but there is no security in this world. People are striving for security, aren't they? For, you know, job security, for financial security, for all kinds of it. But, you know, James reminds us that your life is like a vapor. You know, it's just like a vapor. It just appears and then it's gone. So there's no security outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and for me, and who wants us to come to Him in simple faith, acknowledging that what God says is true, that we are sinners, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but then acknowledging too that work that the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary is a completed work. It's a finished work. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. It's a finished work. And we can rejoice in it. We can joy in that. You know, Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "Is appointed unto men once to die once, but after this the judgment." So If you're outside of Christ, there is a day when you will have to stand before God and be judged for your sins. That's a terrible thought, because God can't have sin in His presence. I think that was already mentioned today. God cannot have sin in His presence. And so, if you have sin on you at that time, you will be put out of God's presence forever. And the Bible speaks of the lake of fire, a place of eternal punishment, where the wrath of God abides on them. But, you know, that's a solemn message, but today is a day of God's good news, glad tidings. And He, you know, it says today is the accepted time. You know, today is the day of salvation. So you can come to Him today in simple faith, just acknowledging your sin before Him, but looking to the cross of Calvary and seeing there your sin was paid for in full when the Lord Jesus gave His life for you. But death couldn't hold Him. He rose again victorious, and He's alive at God's right hand, and He's a living Savior. He's a living Savior. And He said, "Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." You know, if your sin is burdening you today, you can come to Him. He says, "I will give you rest." So it's a wonderful thing to rest in the finished work of Christ. It just takes away the anxiety and the fear, and to know we're on that firm foundation. And it also encourages us to live for the Lord, to each day, to keep close accounts, to make sure when things come into our lives that are not pleasing to God, to confess them, to make them right. But I really believe that to have that assurance of our salvation, it doesn't lead to a loose life. It doesn't lead to a life that's lived for self. To really have that assurance is to know how much the Lord loves us, and to we really want to love Him in return and live for Him. So I'll just stop there, and I just we'll just commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. And then I just wonder, Carol, if we could sing one more hymn, number 300. So I'll just close in prayer here. Father, just thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for this wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus has taken our sins away as far as the east is from the west, and we have this new life. So it's a new life in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are new. And so we just praise You today for such a wonderful Savior, for such a wonderful salvation. We pray for each one here, Lord, that knows You, that they would be rejoicing in their salvation today. And we do thank You for our mothers. Father, I really believe I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mother and her prayers. And I just thank You, and just bless all the mothers today, we pray. And Lord, help us to ever give Thee all the praise and glory and thanksgiving. So we just commit ourselves to Thee for the rest of the day now, in Jesus' precious name.